What do I do?
What do I do?
What do I say?
What do I say? In the Macmillan online community, we know what it's like to have cancer, because we have it too. So, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're feeling, whatever you need to ask about cancer, whatever the time of day or night, we'll do whatever it takes to help you. To join us, search Macmillan online community.
Wondery's new podcast, Dis and Tell, wades into the glorious mess of celebrity beef. Each episode explores a different iconic celebrity feud and asks, what does our obsession with these feuds say about us? Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
Hi everyone, welcome back. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're wondering where part one was, well, go check in the feed and be sure to subscribe so that way you always get your episodes. But enough of that, let's get right back into the episode.
Well, Andy will say, so she's like, what's wrong with me wanting to be on this couch? And Andy's like, yeah, it's not a crime. I mean, her plotting to get on the show is not a crime. It's literally how we cast Real Housewives of New Jersey. And Lisa's like, yeah, no, that's not a crime. But like, you're going against all of us is a crime. And like, if you were so noble in your actions, like, why didn't you tell us in the beginning? Why not say like, oh, I had your backs and I'm here for you guys. And Andy's like, yeah, wait, hey, that, by the way, Lisa Barlow, good thing you got that glam on your face. You're working, you're coming up with some good points. Why didn't you tell them? Why not?
And Lisa's like, you didn't lead with that. You got busted. And now you have to backtrack. And that's what we're doing right now, is you're backtracking.
I did not get busted. I knew from the start this would come out.
Okay. No. So Andy says, well, if you knew, then why wouldn't you lead with that? I mean, you clearly led with the story about banging your brother-in-law because you knew that that was going to come out. So why wouldn't you do the same here? And she says,
Because when we meet the pages, we said to the grave, we're going to take it to the grave. Because I wasn't just thinking about me, Andy. There were other people involved. Literally,
I thought you just said you told casting. So where was that loyalty to all these people?
Also, like, what part of saying we're going to take this to the grave means, well, I know this is going to come out. It's like, no, we take it to the grave means you don't think it's going to come out. Also, don't you remember?
Between, like, in 1 minute, she's like, well, I told casting, so they knew. And then she's like, I would never tell anybody because we're taking it to the grave. I'm like, well, who are you? Who am I supposed to believe you are right now?
Also, 10 minutes ago, you said, I was part of the page, but I didn't start the account. I didn't even name it. And now she's talking like they're in some sort of like secret circle, like they're in like a coven. Like, what is this? Is this the, what's it called? What's that movie? I mean, it's just like, it's like the Witches of Eastwick or something. Like, you know, like they throw some roots and seeds and blood of a goat into a pot. And they're like, and now Reality Bontis is born. And then she's like, no, I wasn't part of the origin of this site.
Well, some of those videos got leaked. So how did the videos get leaked? How did they get leaked, Monica? Because I know how you got those videos. I know how you got videos. The same way I knew that I was going to meet, the same way you knew I was going to meet Snoop Dogg with my friends. And we see a clip of that fight early at the crepe party. And this is another reason that Monica just wins everybody's heart, because she actually goes to a housewives party and loads up an entire plate of food and just will fight while she's eating this huge crepe, which,
yes,
I mean, I respect it and I love it. So also, she's fighting with a giant plate of crepes in her hand.
And I also love that Lisa is going to like elevate the Snoop Dogg thing again. Like, actually, this Snoop Dogg fight was the culmination of Monica's ultimate treachery. It's like, that's how you know that Snoop Dogg, because you were snooping yourself. It's like, I don't think like people really care too much about how the Snoop Dogg thing was exposed.
But it is good. And it's cool that it became such a big plot. And you're right, that Snoop is actually in the headline of this is great. But it is interesting because thinking back, we didn't think anything weird. We figured Jen probably said something. And that's what Monica says. She says, Jen told me about that conversation.
And she said, no, I never said it to you. I never said it to you. And Monica says, you don't remember? You don't remember the conversation? And Lisa says, you're making it up, that this never happened. We never talked. Oh, because they're showing the clip where Monica is saying, we've had this conversation before. And Lisa's saying, I never said that to you. Where'd you get that information? Well, we find out why she has that information now.
Yeah. And Lisa says, because she logged into their security system and was watching them for months. And Monica's,
it was my security systems. And no, I was not watching them for months. I was watching and listening, bitch.
So Lisa's
like, crazy. This is crazy. So her saying that it's hers. Oh, this is so fucking crazy. And then she's backed into a corner because Lisa is like a dog with a bone on this. She's not going to let this go. And then so Monica just goes, and you can choke on a dick.
And then Lisa goes, you logged into Jen and Sharif's security system. And Monica's like, it was mine. I mean, like, okay, so maybe technically it was under your name. But, like, where is, like, that is such a violation. Even for someone like Jen Shah, like, that is such a violation.
It's diabolical. And Andy goes, so wait, so you set up the security system. And she says, yes, she asked me to put it in my name, yes. Oh, really? That's funny, because didn't she during the season say that Jen had asked her to put stuff in her name, but Monica was way too smart to do that, so she never did it?
Probably.
Why do I feel like I've heard
Sandy's that? Like, so you had the ability to watch Jen in her home and hear what she was saying? She's like, yeah, if I wanted it, yeah. So Andy's like, so that's how you found out about the Snoop Dogg thing. So, wow, the FBI must have loved having you as an informant. I mean, like, literally, this is what Monica comes away with. It's like,
nothing on Jen Shah, but Lisa Barlow is flying with Snoop Dogg, so.
FBI's like, thanks.
So he says, this is how you found out about Snoop Dogg. She screams, no. And Lisa says, okay, so that's how you got the video of Jen and Koa. And she says, no, I recorded that on my phone.
I was snooping in a different way.
That was a much simpler invasion of privacy. So she had it recorded in two places. She had the phone recording and she had the security cam stuff. And then Lisa says, no, we have it on here. So I guess they have access to this footage or something, which is crazy as well. And so Monica's saying, she's yelling, you're more mad at me for recording Jen thrown than you are at Jen. No, you're mad at me for recording Jen throwing shit at human beings than you are at Jen for doing it. Do you hear yourself?
Which,
no, that's not the point. It's not about Jen. Jen sucks. Everybody agrees that Jen sucks. It's about the fact that you're a fucking stalker. You found this woman who was on a TV show that you wanted to be with. You ingratiated yourself. You put cameras in her home. You stalked her. You followed her. You up names. You became somebody else. And then you turned on her to get evidence to take her down, to take her place on a show that you ended up doing. I mean, it worked. I mean, look, congratulations. It actually fucking worked. You get credit for that from me. I mean, it's sick, it's crazy, and it fucking worked. I mean, you're going to make history for this shit. But to be acting like everybody only, no one cares that Jen was a monster, that's not really the point. Sorry.
Yeah, but Jen's in jail. So, like, she, like, to say, like, oh, wow, Jen was a monster, it feels kind of redundant and useless at this point because she's already in jail. Like, what are we supposed to do there? Like, we're not talking about that. The point is that, like, you had, like Monica had, like, a gross violation of decency here, which, by the way, play it correctly, that's a great feather in your cap for being a real housewife. But she doesn't play it correctly, so we're all just kind of, it's just sort of like, wow. You if you are a castmate with this person, you are definitely not going to be feel comfortable around that. But again, if she had just done the whole, I got caught up, I was scared of her, I felt like I had to take these actions for my own safety because I needed to have I needed to document this to make sure I was safe. She could have done all of that. Like, it just, she had so many like easy ways out of this situation, but instead she's saying things like, you know what, go suck a dick.
She's just not equipped, you know? Sometimes you need to
Be
smart
or funny.
Exactly.
You know who could have done
back
it?
Back to the beginning, you need to be smart or funny. And when you use neither of those skills, you're just going to fail.
Linda could have done it. Linda would have known what to do.
Oh, God. Now Linda's on fucking Twitter standing up for Monica, being like, Monica's better than this. She should be in films. I've always told her, Monica, you should do films.
Of course. Well, what? Linda's delighted that her daughter got fired. Now she's like, this is the best thing that Linda ever heard.
So Andy says, Lisa, you, so they're all talking once. They're all yelling at each other. Jen's not the issue. She's the issue. La, 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 la. And Andy just looks like he's going to start crying. I mean, he's just slumps down into his chair and he's trying to get them all to shut up. And so he finally asks Lisa, he's like, what about you accusing Monica of stalking Jen and driving by her house a lot? Monica, did you do that? And Lisa goes, you were stalking. You were stalking. And she says, I did not stalk. I mean, driving by your house two or three times is not stalking.
Lisa's like, parking outside and saying you're going to be friends with the neighbors, that's stalking. And Heather's like, yeah, you sold the footage to TMZ. And Lisa says, you're a mother with like four kids and single. Like, why are you driving by Jen Shaw's house? Sack, 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 sack. And Monica's like, you're sick.
Shit, okay, you're sick. You are. You're sick.
Sack, so. Sack, sack.
Yeah, Monica. Now, Lisa is one who just repeats shit over and over, right? But that makes me crazy in these fights and reunions when you have no argument and you just repeat the same thing over and over in a yelling tone. But Monica does it too. But she doesn't even come up with her own thing to yell. She just repeats the last thing that you just said. She just, you are fights you. You know?
But she learned from Jen Shaw.
Yes, Jen Shaw did that too. So, Lisa, yeah, you have four kids. So then Monica says, she goes, oh, you have four kids and you have them in the back seat of your car while you're doing drive-bys? That's nuts. Did she have her kids in the car while she was doing
I don't know, that? But saying that's got to be a real trigger for Monica, considering that her childhood trauma was being in the back seat while her mom made out with the guy in a parking lot.
I know. So Monica, I was shocked that Monica didn't say, I didn't have him in the back seat. I had him in the trunk.
I had him in the way back, girl.
So Monica's like, don't fucking talk about my kids. I don't even talk about yours. Keep my fucking kids out of here. You know, like the classic deflection of like, you've got me cornered, so I'm going to do the whole thing. Don't talk about my kids stuff. So then yes. Andy's like, okay, how do you define stalking? Is it sort of like becoming friends with Sarah Jessica Parker in the Hamptons, or is it something more insidious? And Monica's like,
I think it's when you're repeatedly doing things. I mean, you're not a stalker on your first bunny boil. You have to boil six bunnies before it's really a thing, girl.
Otherwise, you're just like an innovative chef.
So Monica's like,
I never did anything to her house. I like, never put anything out. Like, I didn't even step up anywhere near it. Okay, driving by someone's house is like not stalking. It's just like you're a tourist.
And okay, Lisa's like, by the way, I started falling for this because I'm so dumb like this. If you just repeat something emphatically to me, I will believe you. I'm a good audience member that way. I come on here and act like, oh my God, here's my opinion. I've had this opinion for years. No, I change my opinion every 5 minutes because I believe the loudest in the room. So I'm believing her. I'm like, okay, it's not really stalking. She got carried away with it, whatever. And then she goes, and people do it to their ex-boyfriends all the time. Shut up. That, like, okay, well, that's just admitting to more defense. Stalking.
that's not great.
It's a scary comparison. And Lisa says, well, maybe when you're 12, but not when you're 40. And she goes, shut up, Lisa. No one was stalking Jen and no one was stalking you. So then Andy says, do you have proof she was stalking Jen? And they go, yeah. So Heather hands over her phone. And then is where I'm like, why do I believe anything that comes out of fucking Monica's mouth? Because then it just gets even worse. Even, I mean.
So we see now like several videos of Monica driving by Jen's house and like, you know, like she's with like her friend and she's like,
stick out. Hey, we got binoculars, bitch. Oh my God. I'm going to be like in like disguise driving by Jen's house, girl.
And they just keep on driving by.
The fact that she's showing up in a disguise with binoculars. I mean, come on. Like, when I'm like, come on, it wasn't that bad, guys.
Can I say something controversial? Can I say something controversial? I'm going to say something controversial. I actually did not feel like this was stalking. I know this sounds crazy. To me, this felt like, I think she was obsessive. I think she got into this like whole Jen Shaw thing. I fucking hate Jen Shaw. And so she would drive by. And I thought she was being like, I think for them, it was just like a funny thrill to look at Jen Shaw. And then they put it on like Reality Bounty. It's like, oh my God, can you believe this? To me, I think stalking is, if Jen Shaw said this woman's stalking me, I would not be like, oh, get over it. They're just joking. Like, I think if you're on the receiving end of it, for sure. But I feel like they were probably just being jokey. Like in my mind, stalking is like you park your car and you're there for like hours and hours and hours, and then you were like harassing. And but I think driving by and be like, oh my God, look at that bitch, and then like going on is just like you know.
Oh, I think it's 100% stalking. It's not the typical, like, Lifetime stalking, where it's like a creepy guy with a knife in his pocket ready to stab you kind of stalking. And it is a group, which also makes it different because it's a bunch of them. You know, it's her with a guy. Well, we see her with a guy
who has the witness protection voice on yeah. him,
and they don't show his face.
Who's probably what's his face? Jen Shaw's lackey, Stuart.
Oh, Stuart. Oh my gosh. So, but then, so even if you're thinking, okay, this isn't really stalking them, maybe they're just having fun. They're like kids having fun together.
Right.
Okay,
that's sort of how it read to me.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So then how many videos of her driving by the house do you have? 20. You've got probably 20.
20 that's is a lot.
Fucking stalking. I mean, come
20
on.
Is, 20 is a lot. It's just like, yeah, it's a lot.
It's crazy. It's literally crazy.
So, I guess maybe in LA where you just see people driving by houses a lot and taking photos. I guess I'm maybe just desensitized. Right.
You have TMZ literally following people and taking photos. And they're stalking too, but they're doing it's like kind of
it's like allowed, it's like state sanctioned. It's like not it's like a lot like yeah. Remember our friend Angie who lived in the Freddy Krueger house? Our friend Angie
yes.
used to live in this house that Nightmare on Elm Street was filmed at. And all day long, people would drive by and take photos, and tourists would come by, and they would slow down, and she would hear them speaking. And I think it was just like a big, like, I think she got used to it. But at first, I think she was like, oh my God, people, stop coming by my house.
Yeah. It is fucking weird. And you're right. I mean, in LA, it's people are following other people all the time to get a picture or whatever, but this is... I don't know.
Like I said, if I were Jen Shaw and I saw the same car pulling up like every like once a month or whatever, or these people, I would be pissed and I would be like, I'm going to call the police. You get out of here. You know, I just think that.
Well, like, I'm not even going to give Jen Shaw like the, I'm not even going to give her that luxury.
A sympathy at it.
Shit what she would have thought about it. But to me, it's just creepy. The whole thing is, well, just, it gets creepier every time.
But again, like Monica, all she had to do is saying, yeah, I got way like it started out as like a let's expose Jen Shaw. But I think I got obsessive about it. Right. I got sucked in and I got too deep and I was embarrassed about it, which is why I didn't want to bring it up, because it's honestly one of the most shameful chapters of my life.
But, you know, again, drops.
Or you could say go suck a dick. You could say go suck a dick.
Yeah. So Monica is screaming, this is about Jen. Do you not understand? No, it's about you being a stalker. Do you not understand? They're coming at you with evidence, and you're saying that your whole thing is social justice, but it's not just social justice. It was to get on this fucking show. Why? I mean, I guess you can't really admit that.
Here comes now Monica's grandest shitty lie now unfurls before us, because Andy's like, well, why were you driving by our house? And she goes, this is when we were in the witness situation. And Andy's like, so the FBI, did they tell you to drive by our house? She goes, yeah. And she, by the way, she owed us like a lot of money too. And he's like,
oh, really? Wait a minute. Why would she owe you money if she never paid you? I thought that was one of your big things. You didn't really work for her because she never paid you. So if she didn't pay you, then why would she owe you money? Wow, Monica, lying again?
I love a dual purpose stakeout. Like, I love the idea that she's like, I'm both getting information for the FBI, but also hoping to collect my money at the same time.
Someone sent us a DM saying the information I had about Murillo, that Murillo said in that interview with Bravo and Blaze that the reason they met, the Monica met Jen because her husband answered a handyman ad or something and brought her along to Jen's house. And this DM said, no, that's not the truth. He did go to her house to fix some stuff, but that was after Monica already knew him or whatever. But some more of the information that he gave us was, she never got paid. All she got was a Louis Vuitton bag. And then Jen paid for her car when her car, she owed like $2,500 on her car. It needed to be fixed or was towed or something like that. And so Jen paid for that. But I don't know if any of that's true. That's just from a random DM. So I don't know. I'm saying that right up front. Don't spread that around, everybody. But I'm just saying it because it made me think about that Louis Vuitton purse. Because if part of the payment was a Louis Vuitton purse, was even that a lie when she came out in the beginning of the season? And she's like, I'm with a Louis Vuitton and I bought a purse. And then starts crying. Or was she using the purse that Jen Shaw bought her as a prop? And even that was a lie. You know what I mean?
Was that the purse that Jen... Is that the purse that caused Jen Shah to be banned by Louis Vuitton?
It was the last purse she got to pay for with cash.
I think that the real headline here is that bad things happen when it comes to cars and Monica. She's either using them to drive by people's houses unnecessarily, or she's getting into some sort of tangle with bad actors.
We caught her following Jen Shah 20 times. And it would have been 21 if Linda hadn't repossessed the car right out of Jen's driveway.
That's probably why Linda did repossess. She's like, are you using this to stalk again, Monica? Are you doing that, Monica?
No more stalking, Monica.
Monica. Monica. I watched a movie about a woman in Croatia who was driving by another woman's house. And it made me realize I need to take back the Range Rover.
That movie about a woman in Croatia on Netflix, I can't. That will forever make me laugh.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Being an actual royal is never about finding your happy ending. But the worst part is, if they step out of line or fall in love with the wrong person,
it changes the course of history.
I'm Arisha Skidmore Williams.
And I'm Brooke Ziffrin.
We've been telling the stories of the rich and famous on the hit Wondery show, Even the Rich, and talking about the latest celebrity news on Rich and Daily. We're going all over the world on our new show, Even the Royals.
We'll be diving headfirst into the lives of the world's kings, queens, and all the wannabes in their orbit throughout history. Think Succession meets The Crown meets real life.
We're going to pull back the gilded curtain and show how royal status might be bright and shiny, but it comes at the expense of, well, everything else. Like your freedom, your privacy, and sometimes even your head. Follow Even the Royals on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Even the Royals early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So Andy is like, okay, so the FBI, okay, so he's like, it's like the FBI, you were driving, doing these drive-bys for the FBI, and Whitney, of all people, Whitney, the most gullible person on this cast, goes, that's hard for me to believe that the FBI would recommend her driving by. And I'm saying that as me, Whitney, the person who is convinced that this dress would look good on TV, or not even on TV.
Whitney, she right.
Columbus. No, it's Columbo.
Oh.
Whitney is kind of talking over the answer here, but Monica says, we were trying to catch her drinking and driving. And Andy says, catching her drinking and driving. And she nods and smiles like, yeah, how devious is that? We were going to totally get her. So Angie goes, so they sent you after her, not the police?
Well, she was being watched by like a dozen people, and she was also being watched for over a decade as well, so it wasn't just us.
And he says, but wait, they sent you to do it?
Well, no, they didn't. No, I didn't say that. They said, any evidence I have.
Okay, so there you are lying twice. You can't remember
the worst lie.
Less than a minute ago.
Monica was sent to find her drinking and driving. So she just randomly drive over there in the middle of the day because they were going to somehow find evidence of this. Like, it was such a, it was like so bad. And it was like, it felt like she was almost crafting this narrative out of some sort of murder mystery novel. You know, those murder mystery novels where it's like the detective isn't even a detective. It's like someone who works at the grocery store and on their spare time, they like to look up mysteries.
Yeah.
Like it was so ridiculous. Well,
I can see what she's saying, right? She's saying, look, we were witnesses against her. We wanted to get bad stuff against her. So we were seeing if we could catch her drinking and driving, we could give that to the police and then they could catch her cheating on her parole and then they could take her in. Like they were that obsessed with getting her, you know, getting their revenge on Jen Shah. But I think that she's making this mistake of calling herself a witness and saying, because the FBI is not going to come out and say whether she was or wasn't. We don't have any verification that Monica ever even was a witness or that she was working with them in any way. Monica could have called them and said, I have evidence of a crime. And they said, well, if you come up with any more evidence, let us know. And she took that as, now I'm working for the FBI. I'm a huge witness in this case. She's not listed, as far as I know. I could be wrong. She's not listed as being a witness anywhere in the court case or on any of these dockets. So we don't know if this any of this is even true. They probably just said, ma'am, if you have any evidence of a real crime, let us know. So her ass went over there with her friends to try and get evidence of a real crime. And she just probably is that way she can have making this a bigger story.
Probably is that way she can have a more prominent role in this trial. By the way, if this were like a movie, this would be like the best comedy. Oh my God. Like the delusion, like it's like Nicole Kidman in To Die For is like, I'm gonna find a way. I'm gonna stalk this person so that way I can be like in the trial. Like it is like it's hilarious in a movie. And it's just wild that she is saying all this stuff. By the way, if you're trying to find evidence of Jen Shah drinking and driving, the camera is only on you, Monica. You got to flip the camera around and show us Jen Shah's house. Well, that's
the other thing. You can't be an investigative journalist while you're making a TikTok. You know what I mean?
That's just not how it works. It's not how it works. Okay, listen, it's hard for us to see the evidence when you put on a filter that makes it look like cherries are falling out of the sky, okay?
She's like, oh my God, Jen's drinking and driving. Oh, ma'am, I'm sorry, we can't use that because they've got puppy ears and their tongue. Anytime they open their mouth to drink, a big tongue drops out of their mouth.
Oh, I was using the dog filter. Hey, FBI, I have some like really important evidence of Jen Shah drinking and driving.
They're like, this video is just several shots of ships going through the North Sea at the moment.
Yeah, she's driving that ship. Look at it. It almost fell over. Drunk driver.
Is that a filter? A ship filter?
No, that's like the thing on TikTok. That's the thing on TikTok right now.
What is it?
North Sea TikTok, or at least on mine. No, there was like a New York Times article about it, which is how you know it's like big enough that the New York Times pays attention to it. It's like footage of boats going through the North Sea in like terrible weather where the waves are enormous and the boats are going up and down and up and down. And every single video, there's a guy singing this. Yo ho, all hands. And the videos are like amazing at first, like holy shit. But then after you see like your like 100th video, it's all just the same footage, just scrambled in a different way. Mm-hmm. Oh, I highly recommend it.
TikTok, I love you. So not enough to use you because I'm terrified of you. I'm too old, but love you. Okay, so she's just been caught in another lie. And this one's the biggest one because this one's like the FBI is telling you to stalk this woman to get footage of her drunk driving. It makes no sense. The ladies are all just laughing openly at her now. They're literally pointing at her and leaning back in their chairs and just pointing and laughing at her, which sends her over, you know. She's like, okay, you guys are assholes right now. You guys are being assholes. And they're like, sorry, but this is so funny. And she goes, this is exactly why I did a burn book. Why?
To get back at those people laughing at you for your ridiculous lie about being hired by the FBI to find evidence about Jen Shah drunk driving. I'm sorry, it's just so funny. It's like the time Zeus accidentally turned a shepherd into a goat. Ha 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 ha.
And she goes, but that's why there's a burn book, because you guys are mean fucking girls. Oh, am I supposed to feel for you? You're misplotting mean girls. The mean girls made the burn book, not the nice girl, right?
Yeah. Come on.
You're even bad at movies.
She's just going to start saying fetch now. She's like, I made fetch happen. So Andy's like, okay,
the girl
okay.
Who tried to make happen.
All right. I don't mean to pile on, but it's just so easy. So if Jen is in her house, she's not drinking, nor is she driving. Can you explain that? Whitney's like, were you a mole for the FBI then? What's going on? I thought you weren't a rodent. And Monica's like,
no, I was not an informant. I was a witness.
Which somehow this makes this all make sense, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense because what were you a witness of? There was no, were you a witness for the future trial that never happened? Or she makes no sense. And if you weren't an informant, then why were you having her follow somebody around? That's what informants do, not what witnesses do. I mean, have you even seen Donnie Brasco?
Come on, man. Have you at least watched the movie Witness? So Andy is
thing. It's like, it's not even that she's doing all this stuff is that she's so bad at it. We can't even respect her as a villain because she just sucks, you know?
I think that like, because a lot of this is actually very, very funny because this is so ridiculous. It's hilarious. The only reason why I'm actually upset is because Monica has been so wonderful on this show, and it's like painful to watch her make these mistakes and not secure a second season. You know, like it's painful to me. I mean, yes, there's the whole thing about like she was doing these terrible things, these women, and yada, yada, yada. That's bad too. But like as a pure, as a viewer, as just like someone who enjoys the show and the campiness and the ridiculousness of the show, I'm just upset because Monica, you had so many chances to just fix this and you just went in such the most wrong direction.
Okay, so Andy says, let me ask, with all the things the feds had on Jen Shah, they asked you to go to her house to see if you could catch her. And she says, I didn't say they asked me. You did, though. But you did a minute ago on camera. We can just rewind it and see. And she goes, they said we did that because they said anything that we see, we should bring to them. So Lisa and Angie are still laughing. And Monica is just like hurt, but also... she really thinks she's a hero in her mind. Like, she really thinks she brought down Jen Shah. And other people buy this, too. I'm reading all over the internet. She helped bring down a criminal. If you guys go read the documents and everything that Jen Shah was in trouble for, this is not assistant-level stuff. This was Stu-level stuff. Stu helped bring her down, and he was also a criminal piece of shit. This is
a scheme that spanned the country. Like, there were people in New Jersey that were involved in this. This is, like, Monica's stakeout. Jen Shah at Shah Chalet was not like the flaming gun.
This was not a girl making TikToks of WAP in front of Jen's house who brought Jen down, okay? It's just not.
Monica just wanted some good content for Reality Von Teese so it could go viral and it'd be a big deal. Like, that's all it was. And now she's trying to act like it was for the FBI. Monica's caught in her own lie here. It's hilarious. So, and Andy's basically openly ridiculing her to her face.
They're all laughing at her, and she gets really hurt. And I even though I'm completely ridiculing her right now, and as an audience member was like, what the fuck? I did feel bad, because you really see, no matter how wackadoo she is, you see that this really hurts her. Like, in her mind, she really had something here, and they're mocking her to her face. And I felt bad too.
I felt for her a little. I felt bad because I felt like I could see her as a child. I mean, she came from this like really tough childhood, and I feel like I could see her as a child being made fun of in school. And so, like, my heart did. I was like, "You have made this disaster yourself, and you are lying out of your ass, and you are fully like this is you are just flopping right now." But God, I feel bad for you because I see how this is taking you back to your childhood.
So Monica, Andy's trying to get her to explain it, but the other ladies are still openly mocking her. And he's like, well, just explain to me why you were driving by her house. And so she's explaining, and Meredith is talking over her going, she wanted to dig and dig and dig and dig. She's like twitching out over there. And Monica is saying, well, we were just seeing if she would drink and drive because then she would be violating her probation. And Angie says, well, what are you going to do? Put a Greek line and pull her Greek over?
Give her a breathalyzer? And Monica's like,
no, you call the police when you see her driving drunk.
And Heather's like, oh, a citizen's arrest from this one, honestly. And I'm like, why are you coming for me? Why are you defending a criminal? And Heather, and everyone's like, and he's like, we're not. We're just trying to poke holes at your very flimsy story.
Gosh, she so really Monica's thinks like, she's deep throat here. It's so sad. So Monica's like, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Are you standing up for a criminal? No, again, no one's saying anything about Jen Shah. It's about you being a crazy fucking stalker, okay? So she says, you guys are giving me so much shit. I've done nothing illegal. Going into someone's home security system and driving to their house every day and stalking, that is criminal, ma'am, okay?
That is exactly what Heather says next, in fact. Heather literally goes, it's illegal to access someone's security system and watch them for months. So they just kind of breeze by that. That point is actually so, like, the security system thing is, to me, the worst. And Andy's like, okay, let me ask you a question. If she was driving by her former employers who is up to no good in the hope of catching her or adding more evidence, why do you guys care? She wasn't driving by your houses. And Monica's like, she's like, yeah, I don't even have your addresses. And because Heather's like, yeah, she never got my address. And so Monica's saying, yeah, I never drove by you guys. And she's like, and if she never saw it to you guys, why do you care if she drove by Jen's house? What do you care?
So Heather says, will the capability for a human being to befriend someone as a fan, beg to work for them, and then infiltrate their lives, to become their assistant, to install cameras in their home, to watch the security footage, to take every opportunity to take that in post? I mean, good point. And she goes, sorry, but that raises a few alarm bells for me, okay? And it makes me maybe not want to be that person's friend. And Monica says, well, that sounds like I have amazing time management skills, by the way. Are you suggesting that you didn't do all that stuff? Because we know you did, and you've bragged about doing it. So what's...
So now they've set up, you know, Heather is, in baseball, she goes up fourth. She's going to hit the home run because no one does a monologue. I think the two best monologuers in Housewives right now are Heather and Heather Dubrow. The Heathers. The Heathers have amazing monologues. Heather Dubrow is great for an episode closing monologue. She does them so well. And Heather Gay, she whips out a monologue whenever she needs one, and she does it. She's great. She goes, she did it to Jen. She will do it to me. And she, in fact, has. So to hire someone who contributed and that and profited off that and then lied about that and then sat here with the burn book, she thinks she's being iconic. It is not iconic to be a bully. You said that you condemn cyberbullying unequivocally, and she has admitted to cyberbullying to us for 3 years. You're like it's bully. Some iconic or you charming are. Thing. It's not appropriate that we're joking about this. This has ruined my experience as a housewife. It has ruined every single one of our experiences as a housewife. And that, my friends, is the night the lights went out in Georgia.
You are!
And this is like her closing statement to get Monica kicked off the show. Like, it's her plea to Andy to be like, you said you stood against cyberbullying unequivocally, and that is what's happening now. I would like to bring Diana Sinella Jenkins to the set.
Well, then Heather,
piece of me, you need a new villain. Here I am.
Here I am. So then Heather, of course, then actually Heather's really smart because she basically tells Andy, you know, the hardest part, and you've even said that this is that like the hardest part, social media and trolls, because they're relentless. They come for our families and our businesses. And like, you know what, Andy, if you can eliminate that or create a gap or hold someone accountable, it would change the experience for all of us housewives. And you would get a higher caliber of women willing to expose their lives on television. Wow, that was a shrewd move. She basically is like, yeah, if it weren't for social media, you'd have better shows because we're so afraid of being torn apart by trolls like Monica that we hide stuff. So it's really like Monica is not only bane of our lives, she potentially could be the problem with all the Real Housewives in general, and that Bravo might go down in flames unless you fire her.
She's not only trying to get Monica fired, she's trying to get the greatest housewife of all time fired.
Social media!
And that's right. I don't think that's going to work. That's a pretty big swing to be taking. But also, you need to be super careful because if they do come out with rules that they're going to really follow up on all these DMs and all of this stuff, you know, Heather was DMing or texting with Koa. Koa put out text that he had with Heather where he was telling her about this video that he had of Jen abusing him. And she was saying, get it to me. I'll get it to Meredith and we can get this. You know, we'll figure out what to do. Meredith is super smart about it, but get receipts for every single thing. So she knew about a lot of this stuff. They knew about the cease and desist that Monica had been sent. They knew that Monica was an employee of Jen's. I mean, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of fishiness. It's not completely all on Monica. So just be careful before you want people investigating too far into the social media aspect, because a lot of you guys are accused of using burner accounts and stuff like that to go for each other, too. Don't ruin the entire industry while you're at it, is all I'm saying.
Listen, the housewives get into enough messes on social media publicly. Okay. So, you know, one of my least favorite things on The Real Housewives is when we have a feud or storylines that are all about something that someone said on Twitter at one point. Like, look at what's happening on Potomac. Like, it's something that happens in an abstract space, off camera, often before the season. It's not interesting. So I think that, like, I think the first step is if you're concerned about trolls or whatever, don't feed them and keep your feuds off of Twitter and keep them on TV.
Monica says, higher caliber women, so someone like me doesn't belong here? That's what you're saying? That's what I'm saying that you're saying about me? That's all I'm... Monica, you're making it sound like she's doing the victim thing. Like, they're coming for me for my socioeconomic status or, you know, whatever it is, or because I'm a single mom. That's why they're being haters. No, they're being haters because you're a fucking stalker. They mean a higher caliber, meaning somebody who didn't infiltrate their group by being a fucking stalker and recording them secretly and sending those videos around to people.
I don't even think it's, I mean, there's that. I also think it means, like, you know what? Like, if you're having issues, like, there are a lot of people that probably would not go on The Real Housewives because they, like,
they don't want to look like idiots.
It's like down market. They don't want to look like idiots. And Heather's basically saying you could probably get some really cool people on these shows with, like, really interesting and, like, really wealthy, you know, backgrounds that, like, would not normally come on. Either way, it doesn't matter. What matters is that Lisa. I was a little surprised at this because this is the thing that the audience is saying. Lisa says, you know what, Andy? You guys brought Monica on here knowing she wanted to take every single fucking one of us out and nobody even gives a fuck about that. So Andy's like, whoa, hey, no one knew about this. And so Heather's like, did Bravo know? Which this was great because now the housewives are like, by the way, what the fuck?
Yeah, I love that they brought Bravo into it, and they all stuck together on it, too, which was pretty good. It's very Big Little Lies, you know? It's like, oh, my God, they're going to push Andy down the stairs. I see it coming. So they say, does Bravo know? And he said, no. And Heather goes, well, Monica's saying that production knew. And he says, well, who do you think at production knew, Monica? And she says, the first time I interviewed, I talked about it in my home with production. I talked about it. So I talked about it in my home interview. And he says, so you told them in casting? Yeah, I told them the first time. But you also just said that you were going to keep that secret to your grave. So I'm not really sure who to believe.
Yeah.
And he said, well, we wouldn't have cast you if you had said you run a burner account. And he's visibly...
This is bad.
Shaken here. And I think this people on the internet are saying this is when Monica officially lost her job because she's already been coming at the bosses the whole time being like, you know, I came because your show is shitty and there were no ratings. And like, who does this? Who tries to save their job this way? You know,
but also like, I mean, that's one thing because Bravo knows like they're like, whatever. But when you do this, when you put it out there, if you put something like this out there and you make the rest of the cast members feel unsafe with Bravo, they're not going to stand for that whatsoever.
Yeah, but they're acting so innocent. But of course, Monica said something along the lines of, well, we know that she told him she worked for Jen Shaw because that was in her first episode. Her whole backstory was, I'm Monica. I'm a mother of four. I'm divorced. I fucked my brother-in-law. And guess what? I worked for Jen Shaw and I was the informant for the FBI. So she came out as like a rat. Basically, that was like her big claim to fame was that she was one of the rats for Jen Shaw and like really talking that up to be a bigger thing than probably it was, let's be honest.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Monica should not be coming for Bravo because the truth is that Bravo gave her a tremendous edit this season. They could have made her look like a full-on disaster. They gave her a great edit. We all loved continue to love Monica. I mean, I, despite everything, I love Monica. I think she is like amazing, but like she got a great edit. They put her central in the show. I think like she definitely should not have come for Bravo on this one.
Well, let's move on to the Greek mafia rumor. Because it seems very coincidental that the two of you have a conversation. You and Meredith have a conversation at lunch. Then you go to Meredith's store, and not for the first time. And then you have a conversation about a rumor relating to Angie. And then a week later, you get a DM about Angie being in the Greek mafia. This is a big one that they've obviously got her on, right? Who else would be sending these DMs? If it's not Meredith, which this show had us completely believing that it was Meredith, by the way. I fell for that. If it wasn't Meredith, no one else makes sense. It doesn't make sense that they would have these conversations and then suddenly get DMs with all the evidence. One of the two of them had to do it. So it's obviously Monica.
That's one of the reasons that like led to Monica being unmasked by Heather. So Meredith goes, well, I got a DM that was predominantly a variety of financial records. And I thought, why am I getting this DM from Challenge Butter? This is so awkward. I mean, I know I'm a butter influencer right now, but what a bizarre thing for them to be weighing in on. Anyway, these records all tied back to things that Monica had told me coming in from Palm Springs, things that I didn't even know about.
But Meredith, that was a two-way conversation.
Yeah, but you were the one dropping the bombs in that conversation, at least according to Meredith. But Monica thinks, okay, but we were both talking, which makes you complicit in all of it. It doesn't make her complicit in sending DMs if you were the one who sent the DMs. She's very good at twisting and turning things.
No, you told me you had evidence of everything you told me on the plane to Palm Springs. And that's what you said on the plane. And you were going through a litany of things. Sorry, hold on a second. Whitney, I said litany, not Whitney. Litany is like a list of things. I can see your eyes glazing over here. Let me just get up dictionary.com on your phone. Okay, you can just look at that definition while I continue. Well,
I was going to say, my name doesn't start with a B.
All right. I said litany, not bitany. Anyway, it was a litany of things, and I asked a lot of questions, and one of them was, do you have evidence for all this? And I didn't have any of the information, Monica, then that, you know, and I kept that information to myself.
So, Andy says, did you have anything to do with the DM that got to Meredith about all these finances of Angie's? And Monica goes,
no, but I would admit that. I would admit that if that was me. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, you're so honest. Wow, what an honest, hypothetical person you are.
Yeah. And so, Angie's like, I just need everyone. Okay, 1 second. Okay, everyone, opa. I just need everyone to be Greek respectful for a minute because this is my business. It is my Acropolis, and it's really important for me to be able to do this.
All right, I'm bored already. Wrap it up, Angie. Wrap it up.
You're bored. What I'm just trying to say is everyone is accusing me of being a schemer, being a fraud. I have been working for 30 years. I am self-made. This takes away from my credibility. It's reckless of my business. Yeah.
Look, no, she goes, I've been working 30 years. I'm a made woman. I'm like, don't say that during a fucking mafia fight. I'm self-made. No, she says, I'm self-made. I just wrote, I'm a made
woman. I am taking a hit out on being poor. I am now wealthy because of what I have done.
My family is going to strike back at anybody who brings us these allegations again, Greek.
Forget about it. That's what I say about my poor years.
So Andy says, well, you say they were trying to ruin your life. Who? And she just looks over at Meredith and Monica. And Meredith goes, no, not me. Forgive me for trying to bring fresh butter to the world.
It's just how I feel. Monica has been pretending to be my friend, but it turns out that friendship was thinner than a layer of phyllo dough. And Monica's like, no, it's Meredith. And Meredith's, I never put anything into the universe except delicious hand-churned butter. I'm sorry.
But we had a conversation, Meredith.
So Andy asks who brought it up the first time, and Meredith just points at Monica. And Monica goes, oh, well, I did. Okay, well, there you go. So you started a conversation that Meredith engaged with you in. So that means that Meredith is just as guilty for sending DMs full of information. Come on now.
Come on.
So Andy like, says, well, look, can I just say something? You know, you can't bring something out in front of the cameras like the gay rumors and stuff like that and then say, I didn't say it because it is you saying it. It's you bringing it up on the camera. This is, you know, come on.
No. No, I didn't start it, you know, but I absolutely did repeat it.
Which is, by the way, a very Vicky Gunvalson kind of response. No, I didn't say that. I didn't start the rumor. I didn't say the rumor. I just repeated the rumor, okay? So Andy is like, okay, I got it. I'm just trying to say that at some point, I'm just trying to help you out here, okay? Because we all really want you to have a second season here at Bravo, and you're not doing yourself any favors, okay?
But also, I want to talk about, because you said I had a lean. I've not had a lean in 30 years. I am a businesswoman without a Greek lean, and during COVID, people still had to go to, they needed help, and I stayed open. I kept my doors open, and I am grateful? A woman of business.
Were you grateful I brought it to you? I brought it to you. Weren't you grateful I brought it to you? Aren't you grateful that I brought it to you?
And Andy literally shuts Angie up. He goes, okay, nice. Very good. Nice work. Your monologue is over. Thank you. Back to Monica. Monica, something you wanted to squeal about? Go ahead. And Heather goes, wait, oh. So
but Angie is still like.
It gets really ugly, right? Because Monica goes, are you grateful I brought it to you, like you said in Bermuda, or not? Are you guys grateful that I brought you information or not grateful? And Andy says, sounds like she wasn't. And she goes, yeah, they came after my marriage and everything. And Monica says, same. And Heather goes, no, it's not the same because you don't have the same things we have.
So, but Angie's trying to defend her business about these Greek mafia, things, and Monica's interrupting her, and Angie's like, "Oh, be quiet, Monica! You don't own a business. You roll blankets where there's dog hair on them, and you sell them." She came after my businesses. And Monica's like, "No." And so then Heather's like, "You don't have the same things that we have." And Monica's like, don't you dare discredit small shops.
God, so now she's don't standing Etsy up shame. For every Etsy don't, seller. And
don't Etsy shame.
And she's like, "But you need to stand up for the poor, innocent Etsy shop owners."
"But you are discrediting mine. I have multiple small shops."
Justice small, for small shop. Sellers. You know,
so I love Andy's, a small business feud.
Yeah, so yeah, Chamber of Commerce feud coming up. So Andy goes, "Did they come for your swaddle business, Angie?" And she goes, "Yes." She's like, "Oh my God, you have a swaddle business? It's on camera."
"I'm sorry, you are not a businesswoman. Do not come at me. You take and I give." "That's the kind of person you are. Everyone was struggling during COVID. I opened. I'm surviving and I'm thriving, which is more than you can fucking say." And he's like, "Okay, all right. Thank you. Thank you. Congratulations.
Great job.
Yeah, well the hair done. Salon."
Then Monica says, "We're sitting in the same room on the same couch." So, well, actually, you're at the end of the couch. So I guess we see how we're not the same. And she said,
Angie does a classic.
"I'm also surviving and thriving." And Angie yells at her and she's like, "You are up here because you are a fucking bitch and nobody likes you. And that is why you are in the Greek, Greek hot seat."
All right. "I am a loyal friend and I'd rather sit here than sit there and be a fucking low brow rat out of the fucking sewer." So then Monica thinks.
"Low and brown? Did you call me low and brown?"
And she goes, "No, brow. Low brow.
Low and brown?"
And Andy goes, "No, she's saying low brow."
"Brown? She's calling me
Oh my God, you're really going to try. Like, you're really going to go from the plight of the swaddle seller to straight up racism? Come on."
And Angie's like, "Brow, low brow, stop trying to bring race into this. You're such scum."
"Oh, okay, so we're going to make fun of people's physical appearances? She says my brows are low? Oh my God."
"Only because Beauty Lab fucked them up."
"I was botched, #botched.
So Andy's like, "Okay, enough. And Lisa's, "You did this to her." And he's like, "Okay, stop.
Yeah, now they're just all screaming over each other. And Monica's big defense for this one is, "I'm not a horrible person.
Horrible people murder children. I'm not a horrible person."
Okay, well, then okay, neither is anybody. I mean, in that case, why are you after Jen? Jen's not a horrible person. She didn't murder children. I mean, even you didn't accuse her of that.
That's a pretty intense standard to be horrible. Wow. I didn't realize you have to.
"I can't be horrible because I have not murdered children. Thank you. I'm the defense rests, Your Honor."
"If you cared about Angie, you would have pulled her aside off camera and said, 'Meredith's saying these awful things about you,' which is shocking that she has time to do that when she's making such delicious, delicious butter for restaurants."
Okay. So Andy's like, "Please just stop. Okay, so then we fade to black, and on the morning of April 9th, 2022, in a city, and we go downtown where the folks are broke.
Downtown where the punches fly. Downtown where you can get a burrito with fries in it. We go to San Diego."
Heather Gay woke up with a black eye. Crews were not shooting at the time of the incidents. Boom, ba da bum, ba da bum, ba dum, bum, ba dum, ba da bum, ba da bum.
It's like the beginning of Big Business, too. It's like, dum, 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 dum.
This disclaimer, are we watching like season 3 of Making a Murderer? I mean, this is a little intense. This is a little intense for what we're talking about now. I mean, it's like, please send your children to sleep because we're having a serious segment now. I'm like, let's relax, Bravo. We've been watching the show. Like we saw it last season. We can chill out.
Heather, you shocked the world when you claimed Jen gave you the black eye. I know that the audience is dying for us to talk about this again. Okay, now this is a huge, huge strategic error that Heather made here. What the fuck are you doing? Last season, everybody hated your ass by the end of it because you wouldn't stop with this black eye. You get a black eye. You guys were wasted. You were partying, doing whatever. You wake up with the black eye. Everyone figured Jen had something. It happened when you guys were
throwing yourself up against windows and doing all that other stuff. We all figured it was something to do with that. But then you used it, you kind of hinted around at everybody and played games about it and wouldn't tell anybody who did it, insinuated that you knew but wouldn't get anybody else in trouble, blah, blah, blah. It got so old with the audience. Why would you bring this black eye up again? Why? Unless you have a really good story that Jen got furious with you and beat you, I cannot believe you're doing it. That's what I'm thinking when this starts. I'm like,
I disagree. I did not think this was a stroke. I thought this was great. I thought this was a master stroke. I was like, yes, this is what you do. You fix your image. You fix the damage that this whole thing caused by like just putting it on Jen, like at long last. And now we are all hanging on the edge of our seats waiting to hear the story. So Heather's like,
unless this is good, this is a huge, huge fuck up. So she goes into her, well, honestly, it was a lot of drinking, and the next morning, I woke up with a black eye. I knew I'd gotten it from Jen. I didn't know how, but I knew I'd gotten it from Jen. Wait, so you brought up the whole black eye thing again to say you don't remember still? This is the same fucking thing we knew last season. You got it that night, but you don't remember how. But she says that she knows she got it from Jen because Jen came to her room first thing in the morning when Heather texted her and said, am I the one who gave you that? I'm so sorry. But that's not her confessing to giving it to you anyway. That's her saying, we were drunk and fucked up together. Did we roughhouse too hard? This is not good for me.
I was like, yes, I would have liked more information, but we all know that Jen gave it to her. And so, like,
but she doesn't.
The story makes sense, though. Like, it makes more sense to say, yeah, it was drunk. It was definitely Jen. I don't know how, but it was definitely Jen. We're like, okay, we'll accept that. Versus, I don't know how it happened. Maybe a parrot flew in and knocked over a can onto my eyeball. We're like, no. So Andy is like,
it's unacceptable to me still because you're still not telling the story. You're still saying that you don't remember because you were blackout, but that you know it was Jen. I mean, but there's no more unreliable a witness than that. Like, it was her. I know, even though she didn't confess to me, as I'm insinuating that she did, and I don't remember anything. Who's gonna?
But it's acceptable to me. Here's why it's also acceptable to me, because we're spending like 2 hours now talking about how Monica, all she had to do was say certain things in certain ways, and she gets off the hook. And Heather is saying a certain thing in a certain way, and that's what she has to do. And she didn't do it last year.
It's well, maybe not off the hook. Look what happens. Look what happens the rest of this episode. She absolutely blew her good reputation out of the water with this one. I think this was a,
like, I would have liked more details for sure, but she did the thing that she needed to do, which well, that she was, she up, was humbled so. Herself. Well, okay. But then you're a bit like,
I know. It's me being crazy, not you, but I'm saying what's coming, what's like, about to come is where it's a huge strategic mistake that she fucked herself over. Okay.
Right. And I'm saying, I don't think so. So Andy's like, well, what was your inclination to cover for her? And Heather's like, well, I don't know. I was scared of her, I think. I was scared. It's like, well, why were you scared? And we're like, what scared you? Because she were you scared because she was in legal trouble? And Heather's like, I've been covering for her for 3 years, and I was not going to stop with the black eye. And I was in deep. I was too scared to say anything. I was terrified. I was still scared to say it at the reunion. I was still scared to say it at Bermuda. I went to Starbucks the other day, and I got scared there. And I'm just watching it happen again. I realized I was maybe contributing in some way. I was scared, Andy.
So he goes, well, we have footage of Heather's room.
What? Oh, no.
Oh, now you have footage of the room? Really? After all this time of, oh, Bravo has no footage. What? The cameras were all, well, we have nothing.
This was amazing because this was like director's cut on a DVD. So we just see this sort of generic footage and we hear Heather narrating over it. So we see footage and we hear of Jen Shaw walking in to this room and you can't hear any audio. It's all muffled. And then it's Heather being like, okay, here she is. She's walking in. Okay, now she's taking a seat on the sofa. She sat on an M&M by accident. Okay, now she's picking up the M&M. She's putting it in her pocket. Oh, she threw the M&M at my face. I think you guys see that? She just threw the M&M at my face. It was a horrible morning. Okay, yeah.
So on the screen it says, at the time, Jen and Heather both said they were discussing a different topic. Heather now claims this footage shows them discussing the black eye. But there's no audio, like you said. So what she's really saying is, she says, thanks for letting me borrow this. I say, absolutely. She says, I did that to you. I can't believe I did that to you. I said, don't worry, I got you. She was upset. Kate, we were both upset.
This is her saying congratulations.
I wiped my eye and licked it because there was peanut and chocolate on it. And I'm not going to lie about it. It was delicious. It was fucking delicious.
Okay. Now, right there, that's when Jen is saying congratulations on being a New York Times bestseller for your book, Bad Mormon. That was really nice of her to throw that in there right now. That was nice. That was a nice moment for her.
Oh, right here, she's saying Bad Mormon, available through HarperCollins, read by author, which is really good. Audible. All you really need is a membership.
Now, Jen has, you see her head is in her hands, and she's saying, gosh, this one dented Range Rover keeps driving by my house. Well, I wish that would go away. God, it was so funny that she mentioned that just then.
So now we see, so Andy says, well, Heather, Jen has continued to deny that she gave you the black eye. And then we see the screenshots of Jen threatening Bravo, basically. Well, I don't think they showed that part, but she did. She said, oh, Bravo, if you had the footage, if I punched her, you would have the footage to prove it. And if this is even brought up, they don't show this part, but she said something along the lines of, if this is even brought up at the reunion, you will be sued by Jen Shaw and blah, blah, blah. So then Heather goes on a monologue. This is where I think she fucked up. She does this whole monologue saying, let me just say, I want to start by saying sorry. Sorry to you guys, the network, you personally, the audience. I just didn't know how to navigate it. I knew it was becoming bigger than I could handle. I lived through it. Reality Von Teese, a lot of it was about the black eye, and it was trauma, and I didn't know how to say it other than I was scared, and I deflected with humor. And Andy's like, I don't know if that could be considered humor. She goes, well, I said spider eggs in my eye. And he goes, yeah, and then lawyers were coming at you. I had to assume you were freaking out. She goes, yeah, I was freaking out because all I had was that she had told me that she had done it, and I told her I would cover. She didn't tell you she'd done it from what you just said twice. She did not specifically say it. She said, did I do that to you? So then she goes through this whole thing, and Andy brings up, okay, but you lied on your tour. You said at one stop, you got hit. You hit yourself on a cabinet. On another stop, you said that someone may have broken into your house and hit you, but production probably edited it out because of a non-disparagement clause, the production with the production company and the rental company. Here's why she's an idiot for bringing it up. This right here. You're blaming production? And then she says, no, no, I was just joking. It was dark humor. But she shouldn't be bringing this up. She's basically saying, she basically went for a year saying someone probably broke into my room. So either production was completely terrible and didn't protect their cast, or someone from production broke in, or they were protecting whoever it was so they wouldn't get sued. That's where I think she made a huge mistake. She could have come out this the hero of the season, but I feel now people online are like, well, Heather lied about the network and Heather did all this stuff, so she should be fired too if Monica's going to get fired for a troll account.
Yeah, but the difference is Heather, yeah, there are parallels here. You know, Heather saying it was just a joke, whatever, but Heather is, she has humbled herself and she takes a lashing from Andy. Like, that's the whole point. She sits here. She says it was Jen Shaw, after all. Her evidence is flimsy, but again, we all know it was Jen Shaw. Like, we all know. And she, you know, she sits there and then, and like, she lets Andy just like lay into her. And that's basically what happens. And she just says, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. She does the smart thing, which is she just takes it on the chin, which is what she needed to do, because the audience for a year was like, what the fuck was up with that story? And yes, she could have probably just left it in the past because it was sort of long forgotten. But at the same time, like, we all loved when she said it at the on the final episode. Like, Jen Shaw gave me the black eye. So as long as she's going to bring it back up again, she has to take the lashing. And Andy basically goes in on her. And, you know, she just is like, yes, yes, absolutely, yes.
I agree that she did the right thing as far as once it was out, she took the lashing or whatever. But to bring it up, to bring up that storyline is just completely crazy. I don't know. I just think it's just, I don't understand the sense in even bringing it up. You should have left that in the past. You had a whole season. You got the audience back on your side. You're ending this season being, you know, your monologue has gone viral, which I guess she didn't know at this point, but you ended the hero. You ended as the hero of this season, who got this, you know, stalker or whatever. Like, you captured the criminal. Why are you doing this to yourself? I just thought, oh my God!
Listen, I think that it was. I thought it was a masterstroke. She dropped that in there in the season finale, in the midst of everything, and she's like, you know what? I'm putting this out there too. And because, like, when that happened, when that season finale, and everyone was like, and the black eye, oh my God! People lost their minds. She, like, I think that she was like, I'm gonna have to answer to this to Bravo, but it'll be worth it. And she does. She did it all. I think it was a bold move.
My question to you though is, how was it brilliant if she promised an ending that she never gave us? It still ended up with no climax. She still doesn't know. Nothing has changed.
I think I agree in that I wanted to get more concrete evidence. I think Bravo also didn't give us. Bravo thought they were going to give us a flaming gun by being like, here's some footage, which also showed nothing. I think the truth is that, like, she said, I believe it or not, I actually think she's still covering ever so slightly. I think that she knows there's still more to the story, but the only thing that really matters is that Jen Shah did this to her, and they both know it. Jen Shah knows it. You, even when they show back the footage of them talking about the spider eggs in this different light without the music, you can see they know it. Jen Shah can't let this out because she's in under, like, she's got her probation and all that bullshit.
Right.
We all know it.
I just wanted Heather to admit it. I don't doubt at all that Jen did it. That's not, and I'm not suggesting you're saying that, but I just want to make it clear. I'm not doubting that Jen Shah did it, but the way she's phrasing everything makes it sound like I'm going to tell on Jen because Jen did punch me that night, but she's not. She's still covering where she's. It sounds like to me what happened when we see all the footage of what happened that night, they were so fucking wasted, being on the bed, humping each other, wrestling, doing all this stuff. She probably got knocked in the eye from fucking around. And Jen did it, but it doesn't sound like Jen got mad at her and beat her. But the way that she's phrasing this now is that Jen probably got mad at her and beat her and like punched her in the face, right? That's what she's making it sound like. But when she doesn't say that Jen did that, she just says Jen doesn't do it, but is very careful to say she doesn't remember how. It's just, I don't know. It just leaves, it's still not giving us answers. And now, I don't know. I just think she's opened a can of worms here.
I think that like for me, like Heather is more like, I don't know if she's necessarily saying that there was, I just don't, at this point, like we've been doing this for like over 2 hours and we have so many notes and like, it's all such like a fever dream for me, this entire episode that like, for me, I got the sense that whether it was out of like horsing around or like there was an actual brawl, no matter what, it almost is irrelevant because the point is that Heather did not want to say that she got any sort of injury from Jen Shah because she wanted to protect Jen, especially considering the situation that Jen was in. And then she was embarrassed about it. And then she got into a hole. And I think that's the takeaway is that ultimately she got up from, like, you know, I mean, like if you and your friend are the only two people that are up at 4 a.m. and even if you're like, can't really remember what you guys were doing, but then you wake up with a black eye, you know, like it was from like, you can have like some vague memory of whatever. Obviously, Jen walks in and she's like, her head is in her hands and she's like, did I do that to you? You know, it makes sense. It all makes sense.
But in a court case, intent makes a difference. I mean, if you get hurt in a fight, if you get hurt roughhousing with somebody, that's one thing. That's a fireable offense. I mean, that's not a fireable offense. It's, you know.
Yeah, but luckily it's not a
court case.
But if
you have the intent, if someone was mad at you and punched you in the face, that completely changes the crime. I mean, it turns it into an assault instead of.
It does
matter. I mean, I'm just not sure why. I don't know. I don't even mean to argue with you about it specifically.
It's just the whole show, you know.
I'm just like, why would you do this? I'm not taking it personally.
I'm
going over and over in my mind, like, why would you do this? You just gave the internet so much to come at you for and to demand your firing instead of Monica's.
Are people doing that?
Production in trouble and all of that. What
are people doing that on Twitter? Yeah. People are like. Well, yeah, that's
they're saying, how is Heather any better? Heather lied, got production in trouble. This could have, you know, gotten people fired. They could have lost their jobs in production, all of this stuff just to protect a fucking criminal, which we knew she was doing all the time. So why is it bad that Monica is getting caught for lying when Heather's just admitting that she's been lying for 2 years in a way that could have gotten people fired, you know?
Heather, well, here's the thing. I think that Heather already was in trouble for this about that people could have gotten fired. Like, she already was in hot water with production about this, probably, because people could have gotten fired, and Bravo did do an investigation, so that was really bad. And this was her way of squaring it up, just taking, like, she had to do this. She had to bring this up and take it,
because like
Andy gives it to her.
I'll accept that theory. Yeah, I like
Andy
that.
Gives it to her. So, like, yes, It is sort of bad because it does, it reveals hypocrisy on her end, but she had to do it because it's not like by her saying this that Bravo was suddenly like, wait a second, Bravo was already mad at her about right. this, I'm sure. So okay. either way.
That would make sense if that's what it was, that she would bring it up for that. I just was like, oh, no. And of course, you can't know how people are going to react to something when you do it. She couldn't have known that the internet was going to have all this to use against her. The minute she said it, I was like, why are you bringing the black eye? Okay, so let's see. So now Heather is she says something like, you know, Jen was my friend, and she pretended to be my friend, and I fell for it, but I'll never fall for a pretend friend again. I was a different person then, and I was worried about retaliation, and I still am. But, you know, now I'm a different person than when I started the show.
Right. She does this whole thing, and she also has this stuff where she's like, you know, I'm sorry. She starts apologizing to everyone. She's like, you know, that, and she's like, and that's why I led with I'm sorry, because I would, you know, like, you know, it makes me sad. I took a lot of hits for this black eye, figuratively and literally, and I apologize. And she says, like, you know, I'm sorry. At some point in here, I'm lost in my notes, but at some point she's like, I'm sorry to you, Andy. I'm sorry to Bravo. I'm sorry to the viewers. I'm sorry for the opportunity that was given to me. Da 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 da. She does the whole like.
Oh yeah, we're like towards the end of her monologue part now. So where she's saying, she's basically turns it back to Monica, and she's like, so after everything I went through with Jen, you know, and then we come in here today, and I thought you would come in here and say the gig is up, and I'm sorry, and I wanted to be here so badly that I did all of this, but instead you came in here and you spun and you deflected, and I sat there thinking, this is familiar to me. It reminds me of Jen, and I've defended this behavior, and I'm not revisiting this toxicity. And you know, Andy, I've said that this is the worst part of the job, you know, and if this is the worst part, it shouldn't be the worst part. Because it sounded like she was going to say, and if social media is the worst part of this job, I don't even want this job anymore. Like, if you're going to keep this toxicity, but she backed down from that. And she was like, if that's the worst part, then, well, it shouldn't be the worst part.
Yeah.
So she goes, you know, and the worst part is social media, right? She repeats that. And he goes, yeah, and I've said that. Monica, what do you have to say? And there's just a long pause.
And yeah, and Monica's like, and by the way, I really do want to emphasize, Andy was not happy with Heather. He really was like, you put people's lives and jobs at risk, da, da, da. He really did give it to her as much as Andy gives it to, you know, people on the show to a certain extent. And so Monica's like, watching that was like really hard. Like, cause her with Jen, like, I do think Heather and I, like, more like we've like gone through a lot, and like honestly, Angie too, like we've gone through it with Jen. And Lisa goes, what about me? What about me? And she's like,
I'm the most woman one here.
And he's like, stop. Because for a moment, it feels like we're at the part of the reunion where we're putting down our swords. Monica and Heather are going to acknowledge they were both like tortured by Jen Shah, and they're going to realize that they acted out of as a reaction to Jen Shah. For a moment, it looks like, oh, we're finally going to get the connection. So then Lisa bursts, what about me? What about me? What about me? And you're like, oh my God, Lisa, shut up. Shut up.
And he's like, please just let her finish. And then Lisa gets mad at him, and she's like, but it's literally about the attacks. And he goes, please, Lisa. She's like, nah. I am the most Mormon. Ding dong, ding dong, ding. I'm ringing on your doorbell right now. That's how Mormon I am. I can't believe you're treating me like this.
And Monica's like, I'm talking about physical abuse, okay? And Lisa, and so you think Lisa would be like, oh, okay. But Lisa goes, yeah, well, she almost beat me up. She almost.
I guess that doesn't count. She almost beat me up in a van.
And then when he goes, she had fingers in my hair.
She put her fingers right here.
So then Monica has a little monologue where she's like, listen, I'm talking about physical contact. And Angie had a drink poured on her. That's why I'm bringing up Angie. And that's assault. And then she starts crying. And she's like, you know, Heather can hate me all she wants, but you can never deny that she and I went through the same exact trauma. Well, we can, because Heather was in that position because she was forced to be on a cast with this woman and somehow get along with her. You schemed your way into this. I mean, it's just like...
So either way, Monica goes, you know, she's like, you know, I went about it a different way. Like, you know, Heather kept it all in. I blurted it out. And I'm not going to take that away from her. And I completely understand the fear of retaliation. And I literally get phone calls now from people threatening me because I've come out with so much about Jen and my involvement with the federal trial. And I completely understand where she's coming from and why she made the decisions that she did. So you're like, okay, look at this. There may be some reconciliation. Monica might get a second season. And so Andy's like, well... To the women, you all seem shocked about the black eye, and now that you've had time to process, or as I like to say, unpack, what do you think, Whitney? Whitney's like, well, it just makes me feel terrible. Like, I get why Heather did it. It's Oslo syndrome. Stockholm syndrome. She put all of us at risk, knowing who Jen Shah was and what she's capable of. I know why Heather did it. I'm sorry you had to go through that.
So Lisa's saying that she was mad at Heather last year because she put producers' livelihoods at risk and people's jobs at risk. And she's like, but to know that Jen did it, like, I get it now. And I understand. And she goes, last year you were broken and ashamed. And I get it now, Heather. And then Whitney comes to sit on her lap. She's like, I'm going to hug you. That's what I feel would really be real right now. So she comes over.
This will heal you right now.
And Heather's like, I've been put at risk again in this scenario. So they're all crying.
This is where she had her big apology moment. No wonder why I couldn't find it, because it was way farther ahead. And she's like, I regret believing, you know, I just, you know, what I would say is, I would say, I'm no longer your bitch, Jen, and I regret believing in you. I regret turning on all of you in her defense. I regret fighting her fight. I regret disrespecting my children, my family, and my opportunity here with Bravo, part of a Comcast network. And I would say, I'm glad you're in prison, Jen, because I might not have had the guts to do it otherwise. Also, I hear you're doing some really cool stuff with Elizabeth Holmes, so congratulations. I don't regret that. That's kind of cool.
Please introduce us when you guys get out. That would be great. She's a big dog.
She's a big dog.
And Andy says, well, you saying that to her and a lunchroom full of lady prisoners with tattoos and cigarettes rolled up in their sleeves, it's the most you could do right now, Heather. So well done, okay?
And he goes, and frankly, there's nothing left to be said about it. I think you've done it. We shall never talk about this ever again, shall we?
So he asks, you know, the question he always asks at the end of the reunion. Is there a pathway forward with you guys to work this out? And Heather's like, listen, Monica, I appreciate what you're saying, but no. Like, I have to have my boundaries, and I learned that from Jen. And this has been our best season, and we've enjoyed each other. I mean, it's been your best season, but Monica was a big part of your season. Because of Monica, too. So, you know, yeah. Like, don't take credit away where credit is due. And she goes, and this is, you know, I just can't wait to spend time with my real friends again.
Yeah, by the way, this 100% was your best season and one of the best seasons of all time in reality TV. But it wasn't because you guys were like bonding, and because like you and Lisa mended fences and you let her rap at your book thing, which was fun. It was because there was so much chaos between all of you people. It's the exact opposite. And it was
caused mostly by Monica, you know, if you think back on it. But it was all, you know, and also people saying, well, Monica, they're going to flop because Monica was the whole reason this season. Monica is a big part of the reason this season was great, but so was Heather. She found her out. And even if Heather knew all this stuff before the season started, as people are alleging, and she set Monica up, she's still great. She still led to a great season of Real Housewives. So I don't really see how you're going to tear any one of these women down at the end of the day. They both nailed it.
This is like an absolutely amazing cast. And so like, while I would like Monica to continue on with him, like this cast has been wonderful. Like this is like what Meredith Marks and Heather and Lisa Barlow and Whitney. Now you got Angie. Like they are a good cast for sure. So Andy is like, well, you know, I've got to say it was great to see all these wonderful relationships. You know, Meredith and Lisa, you guys came together. Heather and Lisa, you guys came together. Meredith and Bathtubs, you guys came together. And Angie, you know, it was...
You're here.
It was great to see you integrate, I guess. Inter-Greek, you mean? Yeah. So cool. Anyway, by the way, it was cool to see all the women celebrate you, Monica, in Bermuda. I'm going to try this again. I'm just going to try to make people love you, Monica. We can do this, guys. Come on. You said it was the best birthday you ever had. It really made me cheer at home watching. It was really sweet. Come on, you want to say something really nice about these ladies so that way they'll forgive you? Come on, Monica, you can do it.
Yeah. And Andy is like, well, is there anything that Monica could have said with to you guys that would have made this better at the reunion? And they're like, no. And Meredith says, well, I think it's problematic to move forward in a situation where trust has been decimated. Like, wow, that was quite a mouthful. And Andy says, Monica, I promise that you wouldn't leave without feeling like you had said everything you came to say. Anything else you want to make clear? Give her a spotlight. Give her a microphone. It is now time for your final number, Monica. Do it. Make everyone believe that you belong here. And she's like,
I mean, I feel like I've been misunderstood, but he's like, okay, end your monologue. And a 1, 2, 3.
You have the floor. Everyone, take out your tissues. It's going to be a 3-hanky monologue. Go for it, Monica. You got anything left you want to say?
No.
And then she just shrugs. I was like, oh my God, what a flop. You just burn booked yourself. You just became the most floppy of all floppies. I can't. Now I'm okay with them firing you. How could you have nothing prepared?
Come on, Monica, do it. You know, Linda was so pissed. You're an actress, Monica. You have to do this for the show. So we go to commercial, we come back, and, you know, we're time for the final toast. It's going to be, what's your warm and fuzzy, and what's your cold and prickly? So Angie K is like, my warm and fuzzy was getting to share Greek Easter and have friends and family come be Greek together at my house. And I think for me, the cold and prickly was the rumors and the nastiness. Bonus Meredith impression. You're welcome.
Whitney's was,
I am stronger this year. I've been on a healing journey. And also, my prickly was being let down by Monica. Ouch, Monica.
And then Lisa's like, oh my God, I'm like so Mormon and Jewish at the same time. It's like so warm and fuzzy. Also, Jock. Jock is just like so warm and fuzzy. You guys, Jack has like a 6-pack.
My other warm and fuzzy is that it's official. I just put my glam person on retainer for the rest of my life. Ah!
My warm and fuzzy was churning butter. And he's like, seriously, in this entire season? She's like, I was proud of that, Andy. So they joke just about Meredith making a butter bath line, like butter for the bath.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and my cold and prickly was having an off-camera conversation where we were backtracking and almost dying in a 3-inch snowbank, too. That was a pretty literal cold and prickly situation.
So then, let's see. Heather loved the book event because she, and also Greek Easter, because her and Lisa got to a new level, and they're like besties now. They had a very powerful reset, Andy. And her cold prick was the Bermuda reality Vaunty situation. Monica, what was yours? And she's like,
well, my cold prickly was Bermuda. My warm fuzzy was also Bermuda.
And Andy's like, the best of time, the worst of times. Am I right? You should go back here without the cameras now that you're fired.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, will you ever go back to Bermuda? She goes, no. Just kidding. Yeah, I want to take my kids someday. So, yeah, he's like, yeah, maybe you can talk to your family without the cameras there or your mom interfering. I'm just trying to throw bones for your way, Monica. Just trying to get you to cry or something.
And she's like, so
I feel that thing still. Okay, well, we made progress. I hope we can toast to fun times and pray to Joseph Smith that we find another psycho able to rival Monica's gigantic bull's balls that she showed this season, all until the last 5 minutes of this episode.
Yeah. All right, everyone, bring out the Dark and Stormies. What is this drink? I've never even heard of it before. Ha! And he's like, hey, Angie, give us a Greek toast. Oh, well, we would just say Stiliamas or to your health. And that's what we do before we have a drink. Oh, another thing we say is Apalakopoulos, which means you look like a trampoline with eyes. Congratulations on your skin, Meredith. Opa.
I knew it was a mistake asking you. So I don't know why they had that on the cue cards. So he tastes the drink and he hates it. And we kind of back up. And then they decide they're going to give Andy the final line. Like, you know, Andy was like, we're not letting her have the final line, right? Okay, I'll do this. I think we can use a bath. Let's take a jacuzzi. Thanks for watching, everyone. I'm Andy Cohen. Good night.
He actually says, let's take a j'accuse, which is funny because that sounds like j'accuse, which really sums up the entire season, I accuse. Anyway, I was in French club, guys. So that's the end of...
super smart.
J'accuse is a very famous phrase. So,
Ben. I'm sorry I was arguing with you earlier. I hope you didn't take it like me being too mean. I was just so frustrated with the whole situation. It wasn't you.
I didn't take it. I was like, okay, Ronnie's on one right now.
I was.
It's nothing new for me.
Do it to me. And
you were... I could see you were whipping yourself... Over the 2.5 hours we were talking, I saw you slowly whipping yourself up into more and more of a frenzy. Like, and then furthermore, I looked up this piece of evidence on Reddit, and this says this and this. I was like, he's going. She's starting. So you were whipped up. So by the time we got to that, I was like, let him, you know, listen, we're allowed to be impassioned. And, you know, you felt how you felt. I felt how I felt. It's really, like, literally okay. It's not, it's Real Housewives. Like, yeah. It's literally not.
But congrats. It was a great season, and we got through it. And I get to not do this for a while, not do the reunion recapping where I just, and the evidence gathering and all of that other stuff. You know, it is nice.
Yeah, not for a while, except for the fact that the Miami and Beverly Hills reunions are, Miami's already taped, Beverly Hills is going to be taping, and Potomac is going to be taping. So guess what? We actually have many reunions coming up very soon.
But they're not filled with crime. You know what I mean? I mean, these are the ones, Salt Lake City, it's been Salt Lake City for a while, or Erica with Tom Girardi stuff, The Last Beverly Hills. It's like, that's stuff where you really need to be on Reddit looking stuff up. The rest of it's cake. I mean,
yeah. I look up none of it. I just like to see what Bravo presents to us, and I like to react to what they present to us. The other stuff is fun for me for like crappy hour discussing like the gossip there. But like honestly, when it comes to seeing what they say on the show, I like to take it at face value and just make fun of it at face value. It's too much work to do the other stuff.
No. Well, you know,
but that's why you're here.
Different strokes, you know what? Am I right, guys?
You bring the investigative journalism. And I bring the couch potato journalism.
Different strokes for different blokes. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. Go get your streaming crappy tickets. They should be up today. If they're not, check tomorrow. WatchWhatCrapPants.com or your live show tickets just to be there in person in California, Los Angeles, to be exact, February 17th, 2024. Okay. Thanks for being here on video. Whoever's still watching, this is a long ass
episode. This is like the Killers of Flower Moon. Like, literally longer. Like, we could have back. Honestly, Ronnie, I could have flown to you in Austin in the time that took us to do this video.
All right, everybody. Thank you. We'll talk to you next time.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels. Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trott.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.